Our reading today is from Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 21, on page 1042. Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And also, some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path, and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in times of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar, or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brother came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it."
Russell, thanks very much for reading, and let me welcome you again, especially if you're new among us. We're so glad that you've been able to join us. Welcome to, if this is your first week back after the holidays, it's great to start to be gathering back together as a church family. There's a little handout on the insert there on the other side from the prayer points, and you'll see that "how's your hearing" is the question at the top. Mishearing the lyrics of song words is apparently a very common thing for people to do. I don't know if you had this experience. So basically, for years you think the line of a song is a certain thing, and it's only one day when you're singing the song out loud next to a friend that they sort of rebuke you and say you're crazy. Actually, that line is this completely different thing. I once got found out that way during singing a Robbie Williams song at an office karaoke at night, which was too embarrassing to... I'm not going to tell you the details, it's too embarrassing. But I read an article called "The Top 20 Misheard Song Lyrics in Britain." Apparently 4 out of 10 of us regularly get the wrong words to popular tunes. So Adele's line, "Should I give up or should I just keep chasing pavements?" is often misheard as "Should I give up or should I just keep chasing penguins?" Apparently. Madonna's line, "Papa don't preach," lots of people think says "Papa dom peach." And the ABBA song, their line, "Dancing Queen, feel the beat from the tambourine, oh yeah," regularly misheard as "Dancing Queen, feel the beat from the tangerine, oh yeah." Now, none of that really matters, does it? And actually, your alternative words might be an improvement on the original sometimes. But this is a Bible passage about hearing properly. And that really matters when it comes to the Word of God. We've been getting face-to-face with Jesus in Luke's Gospel all through this academic year, and it's been a complete joy for me, for I hope for lots of us, to be able to do that. Jesus is salvation. That is the headline. Jesus the death reverser. Jesus the sin forgiver. Jesus the broken world restorer. His salvation is huge. It's global things. Jesus is in the business of changing. Don't worry if you've missed these studies so far. In the next few passages, Luke is really going to crank up the evidence for us. We're going to see even more mighty deeds, more reasons for us to be certain that in this unique life of his, God has visited his people. But we do need to be careful how we talk about salvation. And I think I found myself maybe just a few times through this series saying Jesus' salvation as if that is the whole story. Of course, we need to say as well that Jesus is only salvation for the people who respond to him in the right way. And I think you can see that really clearly in our passage tonight. One of the places you can see it is in verse 12. You see what verse 12 says? The ones along the path are those who've heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. See what that's saying at the end? How do you get saved? How do you get salvation? Well, work it back in the sentence. That you get it by believing the word that you've heard. If you don't hold on to the word and believe it, you won't be saved. Or you could look at verse 21, which I guess puts it positively, that point, the other way around, as Jesus says, my mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. It's not automatic that we're in the family of God. I think often today, lots of people would presume that everyone is in God's family. Actually, you need to hear God's word and do the right thing with it to be sure that you're saved and in the family. And so you start to see why hearing properly would be such an important thing. We didn't plan this back in September when we started going through Luke that we'd be in this particular passage on this particular day. But just the week before a student mission begins, which all of us actually are involved with, we're as a church right behind the students in prayer, and the week before a new Sunday ministry that we've just heard about begins, what a wonderful place this is for us to be, to remind us what gospel ministry that follows in the footsteps of Jesus should actually be like. So the first point on the sheet there is that salvation comes through the word being sown. Jesus tells the quite famous parable of the sower. A parable is a made-up story that makes a point about something in the real world. And in the parable, the sower went out to sow in his bag, sows his seed, verse 5. And Jesus tells us in verse 11 what that means in the real world. So verse 11, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Jesus has actually just been doing some scattering of that seed himself. So you see up in verse 1 how our passage started. Soon afterwards he went on through cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And Jesus had been scattering the seed of the word of God everywhere he went. And that's not just the Jesus thing, it's what he tells his disciples to do as well. Right at the end of Luke's gospel, the word of salvation to be proclaimed to all the nations, scattered everywhere, all over the place. It's just a very simple point, this first point, and I hope if you've been around us at Euston Church for any length of time, you're thinking, you know, tell us something that we didn't know, Kev. People get hooked into salvation through the seed of the word of God being broadcast among them. And as I say, I hope that's an obvious point to most of us here, but it's a truth that we need to keep repeating and keep battling for, actually, because it's a truth that's in many ways under threat, culturally partly, so in education and in just communication generally. Lots of the theory would want to downplay the importance of word communication. You know, words are a bit too left-brained for postmodern types. We've talked before about the downplaying of preaching, and we've talked as well about the pressure that there is in some of the universities and the workplaces to define evangelism in terms other than speaking the word. One of the things actually though that worries me the most is some of the stuff that's actually kicking around from Christian teachers on this sort of issue. So some of us will have come across a guy called Rob Bell. And you know, by the way, as a church, we're not in the business of sort of naming Christian leaders and being grumpy about them. It's not something that we sort of relish doing at all here at Euston Church or take any pleasure in. But Rob Bell is in many ways an outstanding communicator and has a broad reach of influences, which is one of the reasons for mentioning him. I thought it was really sad and really worried me to read in his book Love Wins, which some of you might have seen, some of the questions that he was basically throwing up in the air. So he has a chapter called What About the Flat Tire, where he questions whether we put too much emphasis on the need for people to believe the right message. And he says, what if the missionary gets a flat tire on the way to tell you the message? That's where he gets the title of the chapter from. So are we really saying, is this point, that we are dependent, that our salvation is dependent on our response to a message that we're dependent on other people coming to bring us? Well, yes. Jesus is saying exactly that, isn't he, in a passage like this? Verse 12, again, it's really clear. People don't get saved because they don't believe the word that they've heard. Verse 21, again, the positive way around. To get into the family of God, you need to hear the word of God and respond rightly. Please, you know, come and talk to me at the end if you'd like to speak more about that. I know Rob Bell's stuff's quite around the place, especially in student circles. But just reflecting on this first point, it's a joy really to be able to speak to a crowd of people who are so clear on this. We heard on Wednesday night about the missions that lots of the students are going to be involved with in just over a week's time. Lunch bars we heard about happening. And the point of a lunch bar is not just the bar where you go and get a free lunch. The purpose is to spread a bit of the word of God to the students on a lunchtime. Think of those carol services we had just before Christmas. Wasn't it thrilling to see this place full? Full because lots of us here are so keen to get friends along to hear some of the word. The Sunday morning ministry that Chris has just told us about. Exactly right, that it's going to be the same sort of thing that we're doing on Sunday morning. What do tired mums need? What do people who haven't had a university education need? What do little kiddies need? They need the word of God spread among them. And that's not being boring or narrow. It's a brilliant thing because the word is the place that you hear about Jesus and see him in action. And that's why as a church we give ourselves to the preaching of the word Sunday and Wednesday at the heart of our ministry. And it is to be broadcast widely. That's part of the way it happens in Jesus' parable here. I don't know if you're into farming, I'm not really, but did you know that modern tractors have sat-nav devices and computers attached to them these days? So I watched this thing on YouTube about this, it was very interesting. Actually the voiceover was all in Russian, so I couldn't make out what he was saying, but it looked very interesting as this big, nice, a Massey Ferguson? That's a kind of tractor, isn't it? It was one of those, sowing in a very precise way, no overlap, no wastage. Well, actually, the sowing that Jesus is talking about here, it's much more of a broad brush thing, isn't it? More inefficient, you might say, in that way. There is quite a lot of wastage. But this is God's way, and it's Jesus' model of ministry that we are to copy to make available to the vast crowds the message of salvation. So please, we pray for us as a church. Pray that we never lose our zeal to follow that model and spread the word as widely as we can. Well, I was going to say a lot more on that point. I had other stuff, bullet points written down. I guess it's the sort of thing we love to talk about at Euston Church. It'd be great and useful to spend a whole evening thinking about us as sowers of the word, but actually more of the emphasis in this passage is on the hearers and on the response. So it's right that we would go on and spend most of our time thinking about that. So the second point is that there will always be a mixed response. I think the first mission big night is about 9 days' time. Charlie Screen, who is part of our leadership team here, he'll be doing the talk that night. It'll be at All Souls Church. We pray there'll be a big crowd in. The events were really full last year. What should we expect to see happen in response to a night like that? Actually, what should we expect to see happen any Sunday after church, or a Wednesday Bible study, or a Christian Explored group, or a gospel chat? Well, four specific outcomes are mentioned here. The first is described in verse 5 and explained in verse 12. So verse 5, a sower went out to sow the seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Explanation, verse 12. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. This is talking about a kind of person who, well, physically you'd say they do hear, but actually they don't really hear at all. The word doesn't get a grip of them in any way, which means it's just very easy for the birds to come along and snatch that seed away. And you see it all the time, sadly. So somebody comes along to an event, but even by the end of the talk, they've got no clue really about what was said. So I think back to a guy I met after a football tournament that we put on. I can't remember it was, guys, was it just over a year ago? It'd be a great thing for us to put another of those on soon, a fantastic way to sow some seed of the word among some guys who really that's the only thing that they'll come along to at the moment. And I'd tried to be uber clear. Christianity is not about being a good person. It's about admitting you've not been good. And that was actually the only one point of the whole talk. It was just a little 10-minute talk. That was the one thing really that I said. And in the pub afterwards, chatting to one guy, he said, "I really liked what you said about it all being about how you're a good person." Which was kind of funny, but really sad as well. Maybe you had that experience yourself with a friend after a carol service. Well, these words of Jesus here, they remind us, don't they, that it's a spiritual battle that we're in, actually. Did you notice who's at work in verse 12? Taking the word away from people? J.C. Ryle was an Anglican bishop, and he commented on this passage. "Let us beware of the devil. We shall always find him at church." I know what you think of when you imagine the devil at work. We tend to think of the really evil stuff. Maybe think of someone like a Jimmy Savile was the devil at work in him. Well, what about this much more mundane activity that the devil engages in Sunday by Sunday in places like this? That's kind of quite a sobering thought, isn't it? The devil at work in middle-class London, snatching the word away so that people can't believe and can't be saved. So I guess, students, don't be surprised during Mission Week when some people come along to something, but then it just doesn't seem to make any impact on them at all. And that is the reason why we need to pray, 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 isn't it? So if you're someone who can multitask, I don't know, can you multitask while you're listening to a talk or while you're at an outreach event? If you can listen to the thing and at the same time pray, pray, pray for the people sitting around you, that that word that's been sown into them will not be snatched away. Well, the next two outcomes of the sowing are more disturbing and more gutting, I think, because they apparently seem to start out so well. Verse 6. "And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered because it had no moisture." Verse 13 is the explanation of that one. "And the one on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away." So some people, yeah, they hear the message and maybe not immediately, but they think, wow, this is brilliant. This is an amazing thing. They seem to spring up into spiritual life very quickly. But actually their faith shrivels away. And I've just been thinking about this the last few days. Really sad, actually, to be able to think back over some guys that I've sort of been involved with and known over the years. I think of a guy called Andy. So we lived in the same hall of residence. He was just the year under me. And he got so keen in his first year at university. I remember we were on a lads' weekend away. And he was the one saying, yeah, let's all have a quiet time together. Really spurred me on to be more excited about my faith. I think of a guy called James, similarly. A guy called Phil. Basically, times of testing came along for each of them. Different ways. With one, it was a decision that had to be made. Was he going to put Jesus first or this other thing? Sometimes it's family pressure. Sometimes it was the pressure of friends thinking, you've just got a little bit too keen. I used to help Charlie. We used to run the Christian Explored courses together over at St. Helen's Church. And every year at the start of a new course, Charlie would take the leaders of the course through this passage, through the parable of the sower. And it was a really good thing that he did, because we saw this kind of response frighteningly often, sadly. So there was one woman who got keen. She came along to the course for a bit until her husband basically threw her Bible in the bin in front of her and said, you've got to choose them or me. And guttingly, she chose him. Well, when we see people respond positively to the message, get praying for them. That would be the thing, wouldn't it? That fragile faith would not be sapped away in the times of testing. Verse 14, really the same kind of result, but happens more subtly over time. As for what fell among the thorns, there are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Now again, I think of a guy called Simon. We came to London at the same time. We'd known each other in student circles, and work just took over a bit, started going out with a non-Christian girl, and just gradually his faith got choked away. And maybe if you've been involved in camps with younger folk, that's another place where we would see that kind of thing fairly regularly. Hearing properly turns out to be a long-term project. And not everyone who seems to hear goes on holding fast to the word in their heart. And that's kind of really depressing, isn't it? When we think about that in terms of people that we know, people that we've loved. And I think it would be easy in some ways to see this as a story to basically to manage our expectations downwards, to expect complete failure. But actually, this is all driving towards the success story that is verse 15. The good soil, the people who hear and hold fast and bear fruit with patience. And when you look back into the parable itself, you can see that the idea is that this is a bumper crop. Verse 8, so some fell in good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. So the crop is out of all proportion to these little seeds that were sown. And that has been the story of the Word of God since Jesus told this parable. The big picture is one of phenomenal growth in the gospel. We won't see how the harvest looks finally until all believers are gathered together at the end. But it's really clear from this that God wants a big heaven full of people. So think of today, Sunday. How many millions of people around the world gathering today to patiently listen and hear the Word of God? People holding fast to it week by week through all kinds of testing situations. The Word sown has been staggeringly successful on the global scale. And thank the Lord we've seen a little bit of that in among us at Euston Church here. This is a parable to help us trust Jesus, really. It's showing us the pattern of his ministry in Luke's Gospel. It's the pattern and the outcome of the apostles' ministry in Acts. And it will be the pattern and the outcome of our ministry as well. And it's really kind of Jesus, isn't it, to give us this parable. I think if we didn't have it, we might give up sowing the seed. at some of the times when it looks like it's not working. And there is a warning here that ministry will always be hard and painful, because we'll see in missions and in church life, we'll see people who've grabbed hold of the word then fall away. But it is also a big encouragement here that it will always be worth it in the end. I think it's fair to say we see quite a lot of that first response in Britain at the moment, don't we? The in one ear, out the other response. In some cultures there'd be quite a lot of response too. People receiving the word of joy with joy immediately. Wow, wouldn't we love to see loads and loads of people in London hear the word, delighting in it, and holding fast all the way through? We'd love to see loads of people do that, wouldn't we? What would be the thing that would guarantee that that doesn't happen? Well, us moving on from Jesus' method of ministry onto something else. Think of how the gospel exploded in China. Some of you will know a lot more about that than me. Years of patient sowing when it looked like the soil wasn't very good at all. Well, we need to hold our nerve. Very simple. Keep sowing the seed, whatever the response. And in all of the big ways and the little ways that we do that work of the word, we have no clue actually what harvest in God's time and in his goodness might be the result. I'm going to be helping at the mission at Guy's College, the medical college. They recently there was a 30-year reunion from people who'd been in the Christian Union at Guy's 30 years ago, so in the late 70s, early 80s. And they invited a couple of the current Christian Union along to their reunion. And I was speaking to them about it. They said it was a slightly bizarre event. Lots of sort of pictures of people with 70s haircuts, singing cheesy Christian songs from back then. But the thing that the old dudes said to the guys from the current Christian Union was, keep speaking about Jesus. Keep spreading the word. Because for some of them, that had been the time that they'd got connected to the message of salvation and were then going on in the faith. Into their middle age. And that would be a great thing, wouldn't it? Imagine a reunion in 30 years' time of people who first connect with the word of Jesus at this mission that's coming up. You know, you'd be looking back laughing at some of the haircuts that some of us have got, but mainly giving lots of thanks that the word had been sown among them. Well, you're only really going to know who the good soil is by who's held fast to the end. And that's why our final point is, I guess, more personal and actually the primary take-home application for all of us, and that's to take care how we hear. That's the main instruction of the verses. It's there in verse 8, he who has ears, let him hear. It's there in verse 18, take care then how you hear. And it's Jesus' point of verse 21 at the end. So I guess the question for us all is, how is your spiritual hearing? Jesus' followers in this chapter are our model of right response. I don't know if you notice those slightly strange verses 9 and 10. Did you notice it almost sounds like Jesus is saying he wants to confuse people. He doesn't want them to understand about him. Well, Jesus does want people to understand. We know that. This is getting at the fact that Jesus' parables, they basically show up two different kinds of persons. And the first thing they do is they show up the kind of person who wants to understand. So that's verse 9. Did you notice his disciples asked him what that parable meant? And disciples there is a broader definition than the 12. We know that because when Luke wants to refer to the 12, he does that in verse 2. He calls them the 12. So when Jesus is speaking to these disciples who ask him about the parable in verse 9, this is not some secret knowledge for a hand-picked few. This is anyone from the crowd who wanted to ask Jesus what the parable meant. His explanation is open to anyone who wants to know and to understand. But then there are these people called the others in verse 10. You see that? It says, to you has been given the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others, they're in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. And that last bit, seeing they may not see, hearing they may not understand, that's a quote from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Back then, God's people had deliberately decided to shut their ears to God, to turn the volume down on him so that they couldn't listen. And so the punishment always fits the crime. with God. God sends Isaiah, and he says, those people don't want to listen. Well, if that's what they want, then I'm going to send you with a message that they won't be able to understand. So if you don't want to understand God, he'll give you what you want, a lack of understanding. If you don't want to understand Jesus, you'll get what you want as well. They're just parables that seem confusing. You see how Jesus uses this parable to show up where people are at with him. In that way, you either show you're someone who wants to listen to him by coming towards Jesus to find out more, or you don't care what the parable means. You don't come and ask for an explanation, which shows that you don't really want to listen to Jesus. And verse 18 describes that as either a vicious or a virtuous cycle of understanding. So Jesus is into making things manifest, bringing them to light. Take care to listen to him well, and more will be revealed to you, is the point. Don't listen properly, and the reverse, you'll understand less and less. Take care then how you hear. And in practice, the most basic thing that means is make sure you're hearing the word of God. It was great on Wednesday night to be sat in with a group where people were talking about things they'd resolved to do for the new year to get a bit of God's word into them every day. It's why I hope one of the Sunday services and Wednesday nights are a non-negotiable for all of us regulars in our diaries. I know there's one or two people who can't get there on a Wednesday night but go to another Bible study instead so that they can get some of God's word into them. That'd be a great thing for all of us at the start of a new year to make that those Sunday, Wednesday meetings are non-negotiable, to block them out in your diary. In that way is what I do. There's loads of other things that we're committed to, aren't there? And in some ways, right that we're committed to other things, to give them their due care and attention. But the Word of God, this is the thing that hooks us into salvation. What could be more important than taking care that we keep hearing it? And verse 9, not just hearing, but in a way that we want to understand. Verse 15, hearing in such a way that holds fast, patiently. We need to keep hearing the same truths again and again, don't we? So when you leave Euston Church, hopefully not many of us will, but some of us might do, when you go somewhere else, don't get excited if you find a church that teaches something very different and new from what you've heard here. Get excited if you find a church that's teaching the same word about Jesus and forgiveness and the cross. Verse 21, hearing in a way that it shapes your life. So if Jesus has made a promise, you try and trust it. If he says, this is the path for my people, we would try to walk in it. And it's really strong, verse 21, isn't it? Jesus is saying that hearing him rightly is the thing that defines your membership in the family of God. Now, don't misunderstand that. We'll always find it difficult to listen, to want to listen to Jesus and obey. Never mind how hard it is actually to do what he says. And so we need to pray that we will have ears to hear in that sense. We'll only be different from the others if God helps us. Praying that we have ears to hear would be a very good, healthy sign that we want to be the people who are listening. And I think it could be frightening, couldn't it, as we think ahead. How do I know I'll hold fast the word with patience and not be choked? Think about little Danny and his buddies, and Elise's baby as well. You know, some of those little ones might live for 100 years having to try and hold fast to the word of God. And so in a right sense, we should worry about ourselves. We should worry about each other in London and about some of the situations some of us will leave to go back to. There'd be a lot of pleasures and a lot of testings that could choke our faith. We don't know what the next 30, 40, 50 years will bring into all of our lives. But actually, we do know how we'll get to the end. Just take care that every day is one when you keep listening to Jesus. And so for some of us, this passage might be a rebuke to challenge us that we've not been taking care and listening to Jesus properly in that way. But actually, for most of us, this passage is designed as an encouragement that doing that very basic thing, well, look what Jesus calls us if we do. Verse 21, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. It's a huge thing, isn't it, to be welcomed into somebody's family, circled right into the family, a huge thing to be actually treated as a member of the family. How much more of a thing is it when the person welcoming you in is the Lord of all? Well, I think this is the truth to send believers into a new week rejoicing with, isn't it? Do this very ordinary thing of being a listener to Jesus, and he says that will make you closer to him than his physical family. He calls you brother, and he guarantees you a place at the family table of God forever. It's amazing, isn't it? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen.